Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson, and in this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Barney Waters, the president of K-Swiss, the comeback athletic shoe brand that recently did a deal with Gary Vaynerchuk to create the first signature shoe line for an entrepreneur and has been exploding back onto the scene of pop culture lately. Originally founded back in 1966 as a tennis shoe company, the brand really rose to popularity in the 1990s and scored endorsement deals with athletes like Anna Kournikova into the 2000s. K-Swiss is also well known for running one of the most successful viral marketing campaigns in footwear history when they released a series of hilarious videos featuring HBO's Eastbound and Down lead character, Kenny Powers, as the new CEO of the brand. And if you haven't seen these videos, head over to YouTube and search for K-Swiss Kenny Powers. You will not be disappointed. But back to Barney. Today, Barney's responsible for running all aspects of sales, product, and marketing for the brand globally from their downtown Los Angeles headquarters. Before Barney stepped into the big shoes and became president at K-Swiss, he was formerly their chief marketing officer and has over 25 years of experience leading marketing and launch campaigns for brands like Palladium Boots and Puma. In this episode, Barney and I talk about how he and his team have strategically engineered a massive turnaround with the K-Swiss brand in the last 3 years, including their massive embrace of the growing culture around encouraging entrepreneurship with today's youth. We cover how Barney and his team secured a partnership deal with Gary Vaynerchuk, the dramatic impact that's had on the resurgence of the brand, and everything behind the scenes that's gone into the company's culture shift to embrace this new direction. We dive into some of the brand's viral marketing campaigns from over the years, Barney's best advice to entrepreneurs that want to build their own personal brands, and more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Barney Waters. Barney, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be here.
Hey, and you are a super busy guy as the president of K-Swiss. So let's dive straight into this. I want to talk about the huge turnaround story that is the K-Swiss brand in terms of relevancy today. Just about everyone listening here today already knows, you guys have a big partnership deal with Gary Vaynerchuk and his line of shoes.
That's right. So
can you talk a little bit about the origins of how that partnership began to even materialize?
Yeah, I think the work with Gary is sort of bringing to life a strategy we have around or a belief we have around that entrepreneurship is the new aspiration of young people, and how if you are around young people these days, more and more you're seeing the language of work and hustle and the sort of status of young people coming from who's, you know, successful in their business world or who's building a brand, that it's getting younger and younger. And so just sort of reading the tea leaves of culture, we could see that this thing was bubbling as a movement. And also K-Swiss is a challenger brand that was sort of coming from, a position of, you know, fighting for its survival. And I just felt we had to have something unique to position ourselves around to have any chance of getting any attention. So this idea of aligning with entrepreneurship and using this sort of young entrepreneur as our muse came from a competitive need to find a new lane. And also, you know, observation of the market that there was something really shifting and happening. And combining those two things, and we sort of went for it. And then to bring that to life, Gary V was the guy that was the best case out there of someone living this sort of world and using this language and leading people down this path with a big social following. So I thought he's the guy that could really get this thing, you know, out there. And he's certainly over-delivered in from that perspective.
Yeah, I love it. I love the place where this came from too. Not just, an opportunity identification, but a real shift, say, in the culture too. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I often say that it sort of came from desperation. You know, and a lot of good work can come from desperation, you know, where you're not sitting around going, oh, let's do something creative today. You know, when I think back to 2-3 years ago when I took over at K-Swiss, we were really, you know, in survival mode. The company had recently been acquired, and because it wasn't doing well, so it had been sold, and I was part of the new team, and it was a case of desperation, thinking like, if we don't do something drastic here, you know, it's not going to work. And so, yeah, I kind of really, when I really think about it and be honest about it, it was not a creative endeavor as much as it was like a real, you know, it came from a real need, I think, of, it's not like a nice to have differentiated positioning. I just felt like it was the only way for us to survive.
Yeah. Necessity, the mother of invention, right?
There you go. You said it much better and more concisely than I did.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit more about this Gary Vee deal in particular, because I feel like it represents a lot about who you guys are as a brand today.
Yes.
So how do you quantify kind of the change that this Gary Vee deal has sort of created for you guys, maybe in terms of, you know, sales of shoes or just, you know, brand impressions? What do you kind of look like or look at as far as measuring the success of a campaign like this?
Well, I think you can do it a number of ways. You know, obviously there's some simple ways like how many shoes you sell. You know, we've made this about sneakers with Gary. So it wasn't him as an influencer that was posting about the brand for money. He wouldn't have done that. And I don't think that's that effective anyway. It was, let's build some Gary Vee signature sneakers, you know, and break this athlete model of the signature sneaker is only for athletes. You know, Gary really said once, you know, there was a time when athletes wanted to be rappers and rappers wanted to be athletes, and now both want to be entrepreneurs. And so let's sort of change, let's create the first signature sneaker for an entrepreneur. So we did that. So obviously sales of his shoe is the biggest test. And I think we've done really well there. And then, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. So as that has done better, then the rest of our product line has done better. And so you can look at metrics like, I always find that in the old days, it was how much traffic is coming to your website, that, you know, how many people are organically putting K-Swiss into Google is the most basic indicator of how are you doing, you know? And so if you can use something like Google Trends and put keywords in and see how many people globally put your name in and looked for you. To me, that's the simplest metric. So there's some obvious stuff like that. Social growth is a big one these days, social engagement. But then just anecdotally, it's really, for me, the amount of people that are passionately engaging with us and emotionally connected to K-Swiss. That, to me, is the bigger indicator of success, I think, is the sentiment of the engagement. It's not how many people click like, it's how many people wrote to us and said, you know, this has changed my life, or this is, you've tapped into, you know, my innermost, you know, feelings about trying to be successful, and this is inspiring me to do more, and my loyalty is to K-Swiss, and I never would have thought of the brand before, and now I have 3 pairs. We get that all the time now, and to me, that's the stuff that's showing me that we're building a brand here for the future.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And you were, you know, a lot of the things you said there, you were really tipping your hand at your marketing background. So, you know, digging into a little bit of your personal history, you've been the president at K-Swiss for approaching 3-ish years now.
Yes. Yeah.
And before that, you were the chief marketing officer for several years. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep.
Now, what made you want to make the shift from leading marketing efforts, because so much of your career looks like it's been marketing focused, over to running sort of an entire business unit?
Well, I think it really came from, you know, I wanted to be in control of and make decisions. You know, if I believe in something, I want to have the ball in my hands. You know, that was really where the motivation came from, was if I'm going to be passionate about this and really make a difference, then let me have the ball and make the decisions, you know. And to do that, you can't just be the brand guy or the marketing guy. You have to also be able to control distribution and product. You know, sales, product, and marketing, I think, have to be in tandem to make anything successful. So rather than just own one of the pieces, I just had to own rather than one of the spokes in the wheel, I guess I wanted to have the whole wheel in order for it to work. I believe that I needed to do all of it for it to be successful, versus it being a personal goal to run a company. I mean, it never really was a personal goal necessarily. I like marketing, but I couldn't turn the brand around just by doing great marketing. It had to have great product, a great distribution strategy, and then a coordination of those three entities together to really be successful.
What kinds of changes, or maybe even another way to look at it, sacrifices, do you feel you've had to personally make in order to adapt to this very new, different role?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say sacrifice. I mean, it's just been fun, and I've been learning so much. I think I came in to this new job unproven in terms of running a whole business. So I knew that people were looking at me like, let's see if he can do it. And I'm sure some people thought, hey, let's see him fall on his face. And myself, I was thinking, hey, this is going to be a real challenge. And so I just did a lot of learning and a lot of listening. And I had some good mentors in the business that I could speak to and ask questions of. And I did a lot of reading and studying and all the rest of it. So I came in very open-minded, humbly, and learned, but also very focused on making aggressive, fast changes, as I felt like, man, I've got one opportunity to change this thing and I've got to really swing the bat. So I wanted to take risks and make big moves. And I guess that was probably a bigger fear, was not making big enough moves versus making big moves. So I think I learned a ton, and I've really enjoyed learning again, because I think in marketing, I'd done it for so long that I felt like I was at the top of my game, and that's great for a while. And then, we want to keep growing. I certainly do. In terms of sacrifices, I think, I don't know. I mean, we moved the company to downtown LA, which was actually not my decision. It was our parents' company's decision to move from the suburbs of LA into the heart of LA to be closer to culture and to have, more access to people and resources and energy and to be closer to the consumer. That's been really good for us as a brand, but it's given me a 2-hour commute each way. So, I mean, that's a sacrifice, but I think when you love what you do and you enjoy it and you believe in it, that you it doesn't really feel like it.
Yeah. And in the grand scheme of things, not the worst thing in the world.
Exactly. And I'm in the sneaker business every day. It's great. I'm zero complaints.
Now, you mentioned that you wanted to come in. You made big changes. But for an international brand like K-Swiss, I can imagine it's not as easy as just snapping your fingers and seeing, changes of years or maybe even decades old policies, practices change in big ways. So what would you say has been your biggest challenge in making the company such a, much more younger, even content focused brand?
Yeah, I think that is, you've got to have believers around you and people who see it too. And you definitely, especially when you try and turn an old company around versus create a new one, in both cases, you need people who believe in your mission and believe in the vision and are like, I'm in and I'm going to do whatever it takes to be successful. That's really critical. But in an old business, you've got to sometimes convert people who may have been in a losing company for a long time and try and turn that mentality around into a kind of a startup mode or an entrepreneurial mode. And some people will make that transition and be delighted about it. Other people won't. And you've got to be unemotional about kind of making those kind of personnel changes or you won't succeed.
Yeah, I can imagine that's not very easy. Did you guys have to sort of bring in a relatively large new swath of the company?
Yes. I mean, we certainly over time, over the past 3 years, the turnover is percentage of personnel is huge. Some our choice, some theirs, and that is not never a good. It's always disruptive, and it's disruptive for a business to change personnel, obviously, but it's even more disruptive for people who get affected by that, and I am very conscious of that, and that's been the part that isn't fun about turning a company around, but it's, in many cases, it's really necessary, and ultimately, it comes down to the people. You've got to have people in the building who are coming in every day to, you know, give blood, sweat, and tears to turn this thing around. Because when you're in a turnaround situation or a challenger brand or a startup or an entrepreneurial business, you've got to work twice as hard as the incumbents who are already have momentum, already have a rhythm, already have, you know, strength behind them and market awareness and customers and loyalty. You know, they're almost like rolling along already. You've got to start from a dead stop or a close to a dead stop. You've got to have people that are ready to do that because it's hard.
Yeah. And I'm glad you made the parallel to basically, you know, getting at your hands with the reins of a startup now. A turnaround brand is essentially the same as a startup, really, as far as the kinds of changes you need to make and how fast you need to accelerate. So what are some of the qualities or characteristics that you'd like to look for in a new hire for a turnaround brand like K-Swiss? Like, what do you try and probe for during the interview process? What do you care about most?
You know, I love people who really believe in what we're trying to do. I think that's key. Love people who are passionate about our mission and understand it. And that is a really important factor. The other thing is I like people who are open to learning and open to doing things differently. And, you know, that's not always a given, you know, especially as we get older, myself included. I think I've surprised myself with how open I've been to, you know, doing new things and not being stuck in my ways or not just thinking I know everything because I've been around a long time. In many cases, you know less these days, especially when you're talking about youth culture brands, you know less the longer you've been around because things are so new. And you've got to be open to listen to people who are much younger than you, who come in with less experience, but much more knowledge of how young people are interacting with brands. So I think I want people who are open to learn, who are not like been there, done that, know it all. Obviously great team players and people who are open and believe in the mission of what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, that sort of leads me to an important point, which is you've got to have a mission. If you want, you know, before you have people who believe in the mission, is you've got to have one that isn't, I want to sell as many pairs of sneakers as possible, because that doesn't inspire anyone unless they're getting a share of them. So, you know, this idea of us inspiring young entrepreneurs is a bigger kind of a mission that we can show up to work every day and feel like we're having an impact beyond just selling shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Now, this is actually going back a few more years than your time as president at K-Swiss, but I've always wanted to ask this question to someone at K-Swiss. Now, you were in marketing, I believe, when this campaign was going on, but did you have a hand in the Eastbound and Down Kenny Powers K-Swiss CEO campaigns?
No, but I was in the building at the time because I was actually working on a brand called Palladium Boots, which is an old French boot company that K-Swiss bought. And I actually came to rebuild the Palladium brand after they made that acquisition. So I was actually downstairs in a little sort of, dark office, windowless office area with about three other people building Palladium, which was almost on my test case of can I turn an old brand around, whilst upstairs K-Swiss was really trying to kind of save itself. And one of those efforts was this big investment into that campaign. So I certainly remember it because it was happening upstairs, but I wasn't part of it directly.
But now, I remember, ask me what you want because I know a lot about it.
Well, I remember those virals going insanely viral, or those videos going insanely viral, rather, like millions of views on YouTube. So were those viewed as like a success for the brand, or was that kind of like the beginning of the change in direction?
No, it certainly wasn't the beginning of a change in direction. In fact, it's something we sort of moved away from, and had to, a little bit of that memory is sort of still lingers and doesn't really fit with what we're doing now. Look, I think it was one of the probably the best viral ad campaigns that, you know, history that will be around. And in fact, there was this page in Footwear News, which was the industry rag of our industry, it still is the most important sort of industry magazine. And it had the biggest brand buzz list, top 10, and number one was K-Swiss at that time. So it did huge numbers in terms of views and being viral and awareness, but it did very little in terms of selling shoes. And in fact, it was really interesting how what a huge chasm there was between the amount of buzz and views or the campaign got and how little impact it had on the actual brand's sales.
Wow, that's fascinating. I mean, why do you think that was? Was there just not enough of a connection or it was just so unrelated?
You remember earlier on I talked about the spokes on the wheel and how those sales, product, and marketing have to be aligned. I think that is one of the reasons I think that way is from sort of observing that in the marketing team created this amazing viral story, but the product was not, didn't really live up to the premise. You know, it was a young, you know, Kenny Powers' audience is a young male, and the shoes were not really lined up with that target. And when you went to retail, you couldn't, the shoes weren't really out there, you know. So you had this demand being generated, but it couldn't really be fulfilled when someone walked into to a Foot Locker. And even if they did see K-Swiss, the shoes weren't really fitting with the target. So it was almost like the three entities were working against each other versus in unison. I mean, and again, it's so easy to critique other people's work after the fact. And I'm sure someone will critique mine down the road. So, you know, it's easy to be the Monday morning quarterback, but that would be my analysis of it. And the reason I say that is because I've tried to, you know, take a learning from it and not repeat it. And
I like that.
The other thing is I'm not sure that people want to look like Kenny Powers.
Right. He's not exactly aspirational, more comedic.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a factor. When you're in the apparel business or sneaker business or you're putting your brand on young people's clothing, it's about their image. It's about who they are. You know, it's important. That logo on you says who you are. And young people take that real seriously. You know, like you can imagine in high school, you walk in with the wrong thing on, that's your social status. And that's everything when you're a certain age. So, you know, it is more important than we probably maybe think it is. And so, you know, and that was my feeling with Gary Vee was, hey, Gary Vee's not necessarily somebody that you want to necessarily look like if you're a 16 or 18, because he's a 40-year-old man from New Jersey. But so that was my only reservation. And it was probably his too, but his voice and his message was so strong that it kind of outweighed that. And I think what we did is we said, well, look, let's put Gary as the spirit of this campaign and the kind of the godfather of this movement. And let's put some young CEOs in, you know, young cool guys in and girls to be the faces of it underneath Gary. So the original campaign video we did was Gary was a voiceover and showing these young CEOs, but what happened was everybody just gravitated towards Gary.
Yeah.
So we kind of downplayed him a little bit in terms of the look, and people told us, no, we like everything about this guy. And so the next time around, we're all in on Gary, head to toe, you know?
Well, I like that it came from listening to real people out in the real world.
Yeah. Yeah. People will tell you what they like or they don't, and you can adjust as needed.
So another question I had was, if you're willing to go into specifics or maybe speak in generalities, how is the deal with Gary structured? Does he get sort of a retainer fee for being a brand ambassador, or is his compensation kind of like variable based on sales of shoes?
Well, I won't get into details to respect his privacy, but I'll say that, you know, this is not a advertising or endorsement or influencer relationship, you know, because he's beyond that and he would never do that. This is a business partnership that's got value both ways. And, you know, he's fully committed to making it work. It's beyond him posting something on Instagram for a fee. He's passionate about it. He's part of it. And we're partners in it.
Yeah. That much is clear.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as of our recording here, it's almost December of 2018. Where do you see K-Swiss going over the course of the next year?
Well, we got big growth goals next year. We've actually going to end up this year with double digit revenue growth in terms of percentage growth globally, strong in the US, and profitable for the first time in a long time. So we'll have a great year in terms of the numbers. But you know, it's like chapter one of a novel. You know, so we're not celebrating writing a chapter. We'll celebrate when we have a book, which we're a long way from having. So I think next year is continued growth. We're actually going to partner with a couple of bigger retailers in the spring season, which should make us more easy to find and see. So you may run into K-Swiss more when you go to retail, hopefully, next year. I think we'll take the next level of momentum. You know, I want 2019 to be the tipping point for the brand. I think we've got everything set up to be able to do that if we get some luck and some things work out. So, yeah, I would say continued growth, continued momentum, and then, you know, the bigger and the stronger you get, the more you can invest in additional investments. I want to double down on the positioning that we've got here with the entrepreneur strategy and do tons more stuff around that. But we've got to build the business in order to be able to fund all of that. So I think that's the plan.
So you mentioned something I wanted to kind of double click on for a second. A couple of big retail partnerships coming out next year. Do you feel like those materialized as a result of the success you guys have seen this year with kind of the Gary Vee direction, or is it something else that has been kind of been worked on the side?
Some of it has, and some of it's just also trends. You know, the trends have been pretty strong on the 90s and retro era athletic over the past, you know, couple of years. And I think retailers see that continuing into spring and summer of 2019. So old school athletic brands and old brands coming back is really strong in the market. And you've seen that with brands like Champion and Fila. And, you know, K-Swiss is right along those lines and is, you know, is in a great position to be next. And so I think that has what has driven a lot of retailers' interest in K-Swiss. But then also, obviously, the increased just, you know, awareness and conversation factor around the brand, which has been driven in large part by Gary. So it's been a nice combination of our heritage and our modern positions.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm. But I mean, you guys had to create the scenario for much of that to happen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you've got to be ready. And especially when you talk about the timelines around footwear, it takes a long time to produce footwear. You know, it's not like I can see something today and have something ready tomorrow. You know, I can see something today, I might be able to get it in 6 to 12 months if I really push. So you've got to be prepared early for this stuff. It sort of doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Barney, the last question that I had for you today, what would you say is your number one piece of advice to our audience here today? Those of us that want to lay the foundation for building our own brands, what's the most important thing to focus on in the early days?
I think that one of my themes I've talked about a lot is being differentiated and finding something that you're the only one to do. And that will guarantee you an opportunity of an open lane. You know, don't just create your version of what's already out there, but work hard to find brand differentiation or product differentiation. I think that's a critical piece that a lot of people miss. And then if you can do that and have that be something that is a deeper emotional platform that you can connect to people on versus just the product, then I think that will set you up for success. And just to kind of bring that to life for you in K-Swiss's world is, you know, we're the only sneaker brand focusing on entrepreneurs versus athletes or celebrities. Mm-hmm. And that is a bigger mission than just making sneakers. So we're differentiated and we have the ability to connect with people on a bigger, more emotional platform than just selling them shoes. So that's probably the two 30,000 foot lessons I would give to anyone running any size business.
I love it. It all comes back to having a mission.
Yeah.
All right, Barney. Well, thank you again for joining us. Can you tell everyone listening today where they can go to learn more about you, K-Swiss, and everything you guys are up to?
Yeah, K-Swiss, at K-Swiss on Instagram, and then obviously on our website. And for myself, it's Barney Waters. You can get me on Instagram. It's probably where I spend most of my time. And I'm spending more time on LinkedIn recently. So LinkedIn or Instagram for me, at Barney Waters. And then also check out our podcast. You know, we podcast with here in our own studio in our office. It's called CEOs Wear Sneakers, and we interview young CEOs. And we've got about 20, 25 episodes up right now. Wherever you get your podcast, it's called CEOs Wear Sneakers. So you can listen to some of what we're doing there as well.
Beautiful. All right. Well, Barney, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, Ryan.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.